Welcome, everybody. I'm David Irvin. I'm a leadership development specialist and a best-selling author, and we want to welcome you to the Leaders Navigator podcast. The premise is simple. The podcast will provide you with insights for living and leading the authentic way so you'll be better equipped to amplify your impact as a difference maker in any area in your life. We'll cover a variety of topics related to authenticity and what it means to bring humanity into the world. What's uniquely special is that I'm doing this podcast together with my daughter, Haley, and I'm excited about this opportunity to work jointly on this project that we are both so passionate about. Haley, welcome to another episode.
Here we are. I'm excited.
And we survived your sister's wedding.
We sure did. It was a great time. Can't go wrong with a beach. And now that we're back on the grind, you and I were just talking about funny enough, here we come, classic you and I, hey, that we come back from relaxing on a beach to talking about perfectionism and expectations and trying to meet, the standards of the workplace and all of this.
Well, what started this whole thinking for me is the enormous pressure that a bride has in our culture on what a bride is supposed to be at a wedding. And there's a whole year long setup for that one. And how you're supposed to look a certain way and hold the mantle. And then along with that, it spills into what's the father of the bride supposed to look like? And what's the father of the bride supposed to be like? And the mother of the bride? And all of these expectations in our society about how we're supposed to be and how we should be. And then you throw the internet on top of that, and you throw the idea of fixing up photography so that you got to look a certain way and be a certain way and perform a certain way. Is it any wonder that we have a culture and a society of anxiety?
Well, it's actually really interesting because I was just thinking about this, that we just had a massive staff meeting a couple days ago about plagiarism and cheating. And so we are seeing this on the rise of students who are, and part of it has to do with, ChatGPT and different AI, like language developing tools that are out there. But it's not just that. It's students who are paying for people to write essays for them. It's students who are asking older siblings and parents and things like that to actually do the work for them, not just help them, support them. It has to do with students who are ripping stuff off the internet and hoping that they won't get caught. But I really think that it actually is tied to a greater, like all of these expectations in our greater society that, it's a fear of not being able to make it on their own if they just do their own work, that they are feeling like they're forced to use methods of cheating and plagiarism in order to get to where they need to be. So I actually think that this is also a symptom of these high expectations. It's funny that it was just came up this week in school and that we were, had a big, massive, school-wide assembly, essentially, to sort of talk about, defining plagiarism and cheating and what it actually means and why it's wrong and how seriously universities take it and everything like that, too. But I think it's a symptom of these greater expectations in society.
And what do you think is driving this need for perfection, this plagiarism idea that we've got to have a perfect paper? What's fueling this?
It's interesting because I see it in many different forms, right? I hear about it in friends of mine and seeing it online, the rise of plastic surgery procedures, and even what we term like what we deem as like minimal plastic surgery has changed. So rise of things like lip filler, Botox, simple procedures that can be done in a day, right, to improve the look of your face. I look at the rise of academic doping, which is a term that's used to describe things like medications like ADHD medications, which can help people focus. If you have ADHD and you're prescribed these medications, it's a stimulant. So it actually can calm your brain down. But if you don't have ADHD, what it can actually do is it's an amphetamine, right? It's going to give you energy. It's going to increase your stamina. And so we see this increasingly more and more on different campuses, that students are using and illegally selling these ADHD medications to each other in what is effectively academic doping to study and prepare for these exams. We see this with, in different formats, social media, things like that, right? The pressure and the drive. I've been hearing a lot about younger and younger girls in particular who are going to Sephora, which is a makeup store, and spending obscene amounts of money on skincare. Anti-aging products at 12 years old are on the rise. And so what I think all of these are symptoms of this worldview that we're being sold that, you know, you can achieve anything you want to achieve, which I think actually can be a really great thing in moderation. But I think the problem is that when we're spending all this time online, we are more interconnected than we've ever been before. You know, we're exposed to way more people than we've ever been exposed to before, way more ideas, things like that. And so we're being bombarded with the best of the world, right? We very rarely get to see the worst of the world. And so I know this is changing in different ways, like, you know, people in online spheres and things like that are posting like a realistic posts and things like that. But now my algorithm on Instagram, for example, is showing me, especially being, you know, pregnant and due in a couple months, my algorithm is showing me how to have all of these strategies and skills in place when you have a newborn, toys that you need, strategies to keep your house clean and organized, right? And they're being posted by these women who have full faces of makeup, beautifully curated outfits, and who get back to their pre-baby bodies within a couple weeks, right? And so we're being sold this narrative that you can have it all, you can be anything you want to be. But I actually think we've swung way too far in that direction where, you know, I think, like, you know, self-help can be a wonderful tool and the self-help industry can be wonderful. But I think we've gone way too far in that direction of you can be anything and you should be everything. And I think that we're trying to keep up and cope with that. And it's really hard to do that, which is why we're, you know, having, higher rates of depression and anxiety as we're trying to meet those expectations, why we're finding ways of achieving that might be a little bit more dishonest or cheating. Because we're trying to keep up with that standard that's being set on us by society. The funny thing, though, I think, is that we're kind of in the situation where everybody knows that that's the case and everybody hates it and everybody acknowledges it, but it's not going to go away until we as a collective actually just let it go and, you know, delete social media and things. But no one's going to do that individually because you don't want to miss out. So I think we're kind of in this really weird space right now where everyone cognitively knows that, you know, the internet leads to greater mental health crises and everything else, but it's really hard to actually do anything about it.
Well, I feel that same pressure in my world, Haley, and I think it has to do with a fundamental sense that we're not enough. Absolutely. We don't fundamentally know that I'm worthwhile just as I am. And we're not clear on those values. And so in my world, you know, this was just a couple of examples that I had given you offline. I can look at the New York Times bestselling list and I'm thinking, I've never been on the New York Times bestseller list, but somehow or other, if you get on the New York Times bestseller list, it elevates you to have some degree of some kind of worth. So how do you get on the New York Times bestseller list? It's not necessarily that you write the best books. But if I had enough money, I could buy my way through a series of steps and get myself on the New York Times bestseller list. I'd have the same book I got now, but I get it out there. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if I've got money to do that and I can make a broader impact. But there's a part of me that feels like I'm not good. I'm not as good as somebody that got on the New York Times bestseller. I'm not just as good an author, I don't write as well, but I'm also not a good enough human being. Somehow or other, if you get on that bestseller list, you're a better human being. And let me just give you the example of our podcast. our podcast is not, we haven't done a great deal of work to market our podcast. If we put more money into marketing it, we could have more viewers. We could have more followers. But I was reading this week how some of the top podcasts that we think are the best podcasts are actually, in some cases, buying their way there by selling time for gamers who like the podcast, who agree, they have this contract that I'll like your podcast if you give me some time for gaming on the computer. And so there's a financial strategy. And I'm not critical of the strategy, but I'm saying let's be careful that we don't value our, we don't define our worth by how big we are in the world, by the followers that we have, by the universities we get into, by the SAT exam that I can pass, which we had this conversation with my grandson, your nephew, who is talking about, is in that stage in there. He's in that stage in his life where he's now competing with other students. And at what cost are you going to pay in order to fit into this culture, in order to be viewed as being valuable in this culture? And I think it's a time that we step back and get very clear on our goals and very clear on our values. And so this is where I'm in the middle of doing this right now, that I will not spend $100,000 just to get on a best-selling list for the New York Times best-selling list. Yes, I have some of my own strategy because I want to get the word out there, but I'm not going to define my worth. That wouldn't have been the case 20 years ago. I'm forcing myself to really stop and saying, what do I stand for? And this comes back to our conversation a couple of episodes ago about the values that I have, you know, that Mom and I have tried to instill in you girls in our upbringing. And the couple of values that we forgot to mention in our episode is that the value of taking care of yourself and your own personal health, and the value of personal responsibility, and the value of service and contribution. And so I have this value that came from a guy named Bo Burlingham, who wrote a book called Small Giants. And what he wrote is that all the companies in the world that have a value of greatness rather than bigness, rather than not defining themselves on how big they are, but how much impact they make and the value that they bring to the world. And so those are the values that I am now, this is where it comes into our podcast, where we talk about living authentically. This is my authentic self. And I enjoy this time with you every episode, and we create great value for each other. And I love the conversation and I value the connection. And I know there are a number of people that I get emails from each week who value this conversation. And I don't want to stress myself out over trying to make this thing bigger in order. There's nothing wrong with having a strategy and having a mark and having an, implement a strategy to get the word out better. But I am no longer going to define myself by how many people listen to this podcast. I would much rather define myself by, you know, the email that I shared with you about the guy that's riding his bike in the morning and talks about how it impacted the way he thought about exercise based on an impact. So based on a conversation that you had and that we had together. So that's what matters to me in my life is I'd much rather impact the few than impress the many. And that's a value that I hope that I conveyed to our daughters, that your worth is not dependent on how big you can be seen in the world and how popular you are in the world. And you're the one who reminded me of this when you were in high school. Do you remember you said you had that statement that it's more important to be yourself than it is to be popular, because popular ends when school's done. Being yourself lasts a lifetime. And that's the kind of values that it's my experience that we stand for. You and I, we're aligned around this, and that's what it means to live an authentic life. So there's my rant for the day.
Funny, a lot of that you just said, I think I was thinking about this. So I think part of the reason where a lot of this push culture comes from is that, like, it's also happening at a time when we're more and more isolated from community. Oh, excuse me. We're more and more isolated from a sense of community, right? Over the last, 20, 30 years as a society, we aren't interacting with our neighbors as much. Our spaces, like our third space, I don't know if I've talked about this before on this podcast, but they say, sociologists say you have three spaces in a perfectly running society. So you have your first space, which is your home, your second space, which is like your work or school. And then the third space should be a completely free, completely accessible place where people can go and hang out. So public parks, shopping malls, bowling alleys, playgrounds, what have you, that we need to have a third place. But the problem right now is that that third place doesn't really exist anymore. Our third place is virtual, it's online. And so according to a lot of sociologists right now, that's what's leading to this feeling of being isolated and lonely, and perhaps also from a sense of perfectionism, right? That because we don't have an accurate view of the people in our geographic vicinity, right? And the people in our community, we don't have that connection beyond just home and work, that we're comparing ourselves to the best of the best because they're the people that we get, that get the views and that the algorithm spits at us, the most popular ones that say the most aesthetic and the most exciting thing. So we're comparing ourselves to those people, not the everyday people around us. I think that's a huge piece. And the other thing I was thinking about too, is how it's interesting as well, how we, and this also kind of, this just ties in perfectionism. And you and I have talked, a lot about legacy, but if we think about history and the way that we're taught history and we remember history as names and big deeds, right? The winners of the war, the big politicians, the people who've contributed, works of art and literature and philosophy, right? That's who we remember throughout history. But if we really just pause and we think about the people, if we're living up, if we're trying to live up to these people in the history books, right, we're never going to get there, right? But if we take a step back, exactly like you're saying here, and we look at, the most important people in your life, they're people who have given you something. They're people who have offered service to you. They're people who've seen you at your worst and brought you out of horrible places, right? They're people who have worked with you and watched you grow, right? And so, that idea of service and community, the little things in life, I know that sounds trite, but like that's what people actually truly remember appreciate people for. It's those acts of service. And that's ultimately too, you look at there's so many studies about this, about the happiest places in the world are the ones that are focused on community. The happiest people in the world are the ones that, offer something to other people. Because yes, the people receiving those services become happier, obviously, because they're getting help. But also in doing that for others, you also become more satisfied, more happy, more content, more gracious, more grateful, right? So it's a two-way street. And I think that that's potentially maybe our solution to this perfectionism crisis, these high expectations and the ways that we're trying to meet these high expectations in a world of dishonesty and cheating and cutting corners and things like that. But really what we should be looking at is community and service and connecting with other human beings and going outside of ourselves instead of going within and trying to make ourselves better.
Well, what it reminds me of, I couldn't agree more. What it reminds me of is, where do we get feedback that we're valuable and that we belong and that we are important? And I don't want to go back to the good old days, but I do remember those days with my dad that, when I was struggling to recover from polio, and he would take me up on the bar, the parallel bars, and he would get me down in the basement and on the tumbling mat and work with my body. And I can smell my dad today. I can close my eyes and I can smell him. We got that close. And I still remember the strength of his shoulder muscles and his quads and his biceps as he would lift me up on those bars. And in that process, he was affirming me that I have worth, that I'm valuable, not for what I do, but just for who I am. I don't have to, there's nothing I could have done to have my dad love me less, and there's nothing I could have done to have my dad love me more. He just valued me, and I got that direct input. There was no internet in those days. I'm not saying that the internet absolutely is the reason why we're disconnected, but if we're getting our feedback and our affirmation that we're worthwhile to the Photoshopped images, to the number of followers, that's a no-win game. There's no way that you can come out of that enough feeling good enough, because you're trying to live up to some kind of an artificial expectation of where your worth is. So it's my premise that we need to slow down. What's the action that we want our listeners to take from this conversation, Haley? I mean, I would say have time that we unplug from technology, that we get back and have at least one good member in our community that's telling us that we're worthwhile, that we help find our worth from within rather than trying to prove ourselves, and that we can begin to find a way of creating a community in our life where we can be at peace with ourselves. What would you say would be the response to how we create that?
I think so. And I think modeling it for other people. So
had a hard week after coming back from the wedding, and you've had
crazy
report cards and parent teacher interviews.
Oh my goodness.
It's been a long week. So I appreciate you making time for this.
Oh, I love it. I cherish it. But I think it's modeling that behavior that, you know, telling other people their value to you, right? Like, cause I think that's the other thing. We aren't good at doing that. We aren't good at both giving compliments and taking compliments. So I think like really practicing, and we're also not good at expressing how important other people are to us. Right. So I think like, you know, expressing, reaching out and expressing to people in your life, how grateful you are for them. And how much you appreciate them and how much they're valued to you. So I think taking that moment to express that gratitude, you know, gratitude is a huge, 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 treatment for a lot of mental health, right? Practicing gratitude, and looking outward. So I think expressing that gratitude, I think finding ways to connect with people, in third places, right? Inviting people to go out for coffee, inviting people to go out for a walk, taking that initiative to get to know people better on a deeper level, away from technology, away from screens, right? With your family, you know, going out and practice that with your kids, practice that with your spouse, you know, doing things for other people, that act of service, even if it's as little as holding a door open for somebody, if it's, you know, paying for the person behind you in terms of their coffee order or whatever, even if in terms of, you know, forgiving somebody for something that they've, you know, something that they've done, things like this, right? Like just these little acts of service, that can go a long way. Also it, not just for, you know, the community as a whole, but also for, you know, your own mental well-being, to practice those acts of service. So instead of trying to make yourself better, trying to make yourself achieve this standard that is unrealistic, it's how can you make your community better, and how can you make other people's lives better? I think that will be way more fulfilling and satisfying.
100%. But it means being mindful, means being very conscious. And, and we can even use technology to do that, to go from a transaction to a transformational experience. So we can just say on a text how much we value another person. And so it's not separate from technology, but you can't depend on technology to give us that sense of worth.
Absolutely. Definitely. And on that note, what are you grateful for this week, Dad?
Well, I'm certainly grateful to have had a week with my family.
Yeah.
With my grandson and my three daughters, and you and your little one that's growing.
Inside,
and AJ, and just having a week to just hang out with you all was very, very gratifying. And this is what makes life so meaningful, is those connections.
Definitely.
Are those connections. How about you?
Same thing. I echo that. Like just having time to unplug and connect and, you know, not have to feel like we're running around from one activity to the next, but to just be present and listening and, you know, spending conversations together and things like that, I think is super important.
And we're going to get out of balance every once in a while, but we need to remember to come back to the foundation of our humanity, That's really what's going to sustain us. Not an image or an illusion of perfection.
And our connection.
The appreciation of the diversity of the human experience. What were you going to say?
Yeah, and our connection with each other, you know, and the value of community and of, you know, being with people and talking to people and expressing what you need and asking for help and things like that. It's very important.
Well, thanks for another episode. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Hey, Real.